Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
It's Two Dudes in a Kitchen with Tyler Florence
and Wells Adams, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome into Two Dudes in the Kitchen. It's Wells Adams and Tyler Florence hanging out with you. Just a couple days ago, we did some audience questions, but today we are talking about tamales. Tyler, do you love tamales as much as I do?
God, do I love tamales. I think they're so interesting. I'm glad we're kind of jumping into this today because it's like perfect like winter weather food. I mean, it's comforting. It's creamy. It tastes delicious. If you like enchiladas, right? And forgive me if we're crossing over a bunch of different dishes here, right? But if you like tacos, if you like enchiladas, if you like really great authentic Mexican flavor profiles, you're going to love tamales. And we've got one of the best chefs putting this whole thing together. And he actually sent us a video on how he puts these together too. So I can't wait to learn something. I think this is going to be a good episode.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you work in kitchens and I've worked in a bunch of different restaurants. And I feel like that's the thing that's always being made by the cooks in the kitchen. They'll come in with a bunch of tamales. Is that a thing that's happening at Miller Lux or Wayfair?
All the time. Yeah. So we have a family meal every day at 4 o'clock. Right. And then, so that it's a, you know, chance for the full team to get together and talk about tonight and talk about any issues in the kitchen. You know, we just sort of sit down and relax and really enjoy food as a family. And occasionally once or twice a month, our girls in the kitchen will put together some tamales that are just next level delicious. And I always look forward to that. And I always feel like every time I watch them make them, I learn something like through their hands and their traditions and their stories and their choice of ingredients on how they put them together. You know, how they'll take the dried corn husks, because we'll buy things specifically for that. They're like, hey, chef, can we make tamales? I'm like, yeah, all day. So we will buy corn husks and we'll buy masa, but then they'll take sometimes chicken fat, which is kind of fun. They'll take pork lard, so you can make them a couple different ways. And then they'll make sort of a creamy mixture of the dried masa, a little bit of baking powder, because that's what gives it the puff. If you don't have it with baking powder, it's hard as a rock, right? The dough and a masa dough for a tamale specifically is the baking powder, because it gives it a fluffiness to it, and then some salt. So then they'll make a smear of the masa tamale mixture on the outside or the inside of the corn husk on the bottom, but they're going to wrap it, right? And then they'll make a filling usually out of like, you know, braised pork or braised beef or braised chicken, which is always really kind of fun. And, you know, you can either have them with a red sauce or a green sauce, which is, you know, the red sauce is dried chilies. The green sauce is like a tomatillo, jalapeno, onion, garlic, cilantro puree, which is kind of fun. And then you boil the jalapenos and the onions and the garlic first, and then you grind it, which is really kind of nice. A lot of lime juice. And then they kind of mix it with some braised shredded, whatever, pork, beef, chicken. And then they put them together and they're just sensational. They serve them with rice and then some salsa, some guac on the side. And then I so look forward to that. It's nice.
There's nothing better than a really, really well-made tamale. And I'm very excited about today's episode. Quick break. When we come back on Two Dudes, Jose Larrea, the king of tamales in Los Angeles, will be on the show and we'll be getting his recipe. And I'm also going to surprise Tyler and see if I can get a crazy, weird foodie version of a tamale. Stick around, listen to Two Dudes in the Kitchen.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Welcome to the show, Jose. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, Tyler's in New Orleans right now, so he's doing very, very good.
So he's having fun.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's one of those like special me times, right? In the season where I get a chance to sort of peel off for a day or two and just go see some friends and go eat in a couple cool restaurants. So I'm in New Orleans for a couple of days. I'm heading off to Mississippi today, and it's just like a long road trip. You know, a good podcast, a good playlist, and just drive. And, you know, I love it. It's the best.
So you're going to have some alligator out there, I would imagine.
Well, I'm kind of bummed out. Listen, the crawfish season is nothing to write home about. And Wells, I was actually going to talk to you about that too, because like, when do you have your big crawfish thing, Wells?
4th of July.
4th of July. Okay, great. Because the crawfish season right now is nothing. They had a really, really hot summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've had a really cold winter. So all the crawfish had to like go deep dive into their holes and stuff like that, at least ways to explain to me. So the crawfish are really, really small. And so they're, you can't find them anywhere right now. So that I'm a little bummed out. I haven't had alligator and I haven't had any crawfish.
No, I got to ask Tyler, have you had any tamales in New Orleans?
I haven't had tamales in New Orleans, but I got to tell you, I'm super excited about today's like topic because I love tamales. And, you know, in our kitchens in San Francisco, we have a lot of folks that that make family meal, which is great. And then we get like, we got two ladies in our kitchen who make unbelievable tamales like once or twice a month. And I just love them so much. They're great. It's such a high art to be able to make them perfect. And I want to hear all about this.
Yeah. Jose, please tell us first the history of your family market and then get into the masa factory and then the tamales, please.
Well, Amapola has been here for 62 years. So originally started out in California. And our main focus has always been catering to, I would say, the first generation Latino Hispanic. One of our main items being the tortilla, which is made from the ancient way of cooking, steeping the corn, grinding it. And obviously from there, that's where the masa is generated for the tamales. It's one of those items that, at least for us in Amapola, has been the center of attention for years, where, you know, we're all familiar with the tailgating and the football games and whatnot. Well, there's tailgating for masa at Amapola, where people come, they congregate for hours. I mean, they're waiting for 2 to 4 hours just to get their masa at the ends of the years. It is, you know, it's this amazing item, like Tyler was mentioning, which, you know, tamales brings us together. It kind of, you know, it makes us form this kind of gathering at the ends of the year, where even though we're so busy throughout, at the end of the year, it's all about the tamales.
You know, it's one of those things that you get a chance to try, and everybody's had an okay one from time to time. But then, you know, back in like, guys, it must have been the 80s for sure. Bobby Flay, right? A lot of like chefs that really kind of jumped on the Southwestern kick. They took the same ingredients that you make a good tamale with, And then they started kind of playing around with the idea of what those were, and they sort of exposed the flavor profile and the concept to a much, much wider audience. But then you get a chance to go taste the really authentic ones that are so incredibly delicious that kind of break down a couple different things, right? So you've got the husk, and then you've got the masa meal itself, right? And that's a mixture of the masa, and that's like corn soaked in lye and then steamed and then ground down. Tell me what I don't get right here. So the masa, it's soaked in lye, then steamed, ground down, and it's mixed with lard, a little bit of baking powder, right? So it gets nice and puffy. And then you got your filling, and the filling can be pretty much anything, right?
Well, as far as, you know, I mean, I think the process, you got it exactly right. The way that we do our masa or our corn in-house is we cook it in steam. From there, we let it steep from anywhere from 12 to 24 hours. Once it's been steeping in the actual lime, from there, it goes through a cleaning process. We grind the corn. That's the beginning of the masa stages. Because from there, exactly as you said, we add the lard, salt, a little bit of baking powder, and that kind of brings the whole tamal together. The filling, it could be just about anything. Pork, beef, chicken, vegetarians. In Mexico, we also do them with just strictly beans. Mm-hmm. It's such a diverse item that you could incorporate with just about any filling.
And you could do fun fruit ones too, right? Like strawberry and pineapple and stuff like that too, right?
Well, with us, we sell a pineapple and a strawberry, but we also started playing around this year with some gansito. Not sure if you guys are familiar with gansito. It's a very popular dessert-like item, which is, I guess you could call it, it's a small little bread or submarine bread that it's covered with chocolate. And we also incorporate it into the tamal. So, yeah, I mean, you could do it just about anything. Corn tamales, it's very diverse.
You know, before, Tyler, you were talking about how like we've all had kind of a bad tamale. What are some of like the common mistakes people make when they are making tamales and they're not perfect?
Listen, I wouldn't begin to tell you how to do this over our guest today. Walk us through what's perfect about it. And then I'm sure we'll have some questions. Like I could tell you, you know, my take on it, but I'm sure yours is going to be much, much better.
Well, I would say one of the major mistakes that people would make at home, it's not adding sufficient lard to the tamale. I mean, we need to make sure that when you're incorporating the masa, it has the right ratio of lard to masa so that it's not a dry product. In addition to that, I mean, some people have the tendency to either over salt the masa. It needs to have the perfect touch so that every single item, which is a masa and the filling, they actually highlight themselves rather than being overpowered. The other mistake that people do, it's not cooking them for the right amount of time or overcooking them. It just really depends. I mean, I think the perfect tamal for us at Amapola, it's making sure that the masa is prepared, you know, according to how we've done it for the last 62 years. And in addition to that, it's making sure that the tamales are well steamed so that when customers are actually taking them, they take the best product available.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really about three things. It's the husk, which is the wrap thing. And sometimes you can either wrap them once or wrap them twice, right? And why would you want to wrap one twice? Would that be, you know, how wet the filling would be so it wouldn't leak everywhere? Like what's the point of that?
You know, it really depends. I think, you said that you wrap them in husk. I mean, keep in mind that people also wrap them in the hoja de plátano. So people actually do wrap them in hoja de plátano, especially in Central America. That rather than steaming them, they actually cook them with, I guess you could say, in a bain-marie type style. Mm-hmm. But as far as the double wrapping, it's mostly, I would say, the tradition. Personally, you know, in our home, it's a single wrap. I think it's a little easier. And our tamales are not, they're not so big that, you know, we like to have a small ratio of masa to a high ratio of filling. But normally when they wrap them twice, it's to make sure that they keep the filling within the husk.
Mm-hmm. And now let's talk about the filling for a second. What makes a really good filling?
You know, I think it really depends. I think we all got to consider that, to us, the masa has always been the highlight. But the filling, personally, I'm more of a beef versus a pork person. So I enjoy beef, you know, any type of tamale with beef. in either a red or a green sauce. I think the filling, just more than anything, it's from childhood, whatever favorite stews that you're so used to eating when you were a kid. That's normally what, you know, what my parent would actually, what my mom would actually fill them with. It's, you know, the guisado de res that you commonly ate when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said red sauce and green sauce. The green sauce would be tomatillo based and the red sauce would be dried chili?
That is correct.
Okay, great. So walk me through, let's talk through like a green sauce real fast. Like, how would you make that?
Green sauce tamale. Well, it would be the green tomatillos, generally made either, depending if you want them spicy, it would be more of a serrano chile versus...
Which is my favorite chili, by the way, serranos.
Yeah. Serrano, yeah, well, you know, it normally...
My favorite chili.
There you go. So if you want them spicy, serrano would be the way to go. If you want them a little, you know, on the lower heat ratio, it would be more of a jalapeno. From there, depending on your flavor profile and what ingredients you want to add, people usually add, you know, the cloves, the garlic, the cumin. It really depends what your flavor profile is so used to eating. But I mean, generally a guisado would contain the cumin, garlic, pepper, salt, kind of that scenario.
And then you puree it, right? So you make a really nice sort of green sauce. And then do you braise the beef in that? Or do you fold it in at the end? Let's talk about the beef for a second.
Yeah, generally when we do it, it is actually a boiled protein. Then from there, the sauce is blended, I would say, you add a little bit of oil into a pot, you saute the actual the sauce, and then you incorporate the protein and pretty much reduce it as much as possible so that the flavors penetrate the actual protein. We don't braise the protein, but I know that, you know, certain people would actually braise it.
Mm-hmm. So it's really, really nice, soft braised meat. That's a good thing for the texture of a good tamale, right?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. So it's nice and creamy. That's what I really like about it. I like that sort of like corn chip flavor profile of the masa. I'm going to try and describe it to people kind of what it tastes like. It tastes like a taco shell, right? Yeah. It tastes like a taco, right? And then you get that. So it's that firm, you know, kind of like mouthfeel, like almost like you're biting to a hot dog, but then you got this like flavor profile. You'd sink your teeth into the first layer, which is the masa. And then you get this big hit of flavor and that's the filling. Right. And then that's so like robust with like different spices. I'm sure it's got a lot of cumin, coriander, you know, cilantro, chili flake, you know, like maybe lime juice, whatever. It's really fresh and bright, but then you kind of get this really, really nice hit. What do you serve with a tamale? Do you eat them by yourself, like by themselves? Like, what would you serve along with that?
Well, if it's a freshly steamed tamale, generally, I mean, I like to enjoy the tamale by itself. Inside, it already has a filling. It has a sauce. I think the tamale in its own has all the flavor profiles that you're looking for. But generally, I mean, at the store, people would actually accompany with a little bit of sour cream, that they'll add sour cream. They'll add additional sauce. If it's a day-old tamal, what we normally do at home, a day-old tamal, you actually leave it on the husk, put it on the skillet, kind of give it those little burn marks. That's when we add more sauce and we add the sour cream to just spice it up a bit. And you know, sometimes we make a tamal ahogado, which is the same thing in the same sauce that you've actually incorporated into the tamal inside. You make this kind of a stew where the same thing, you either braise the tamal or you deep fry it. Then you add it into this sauce and it gives it this extra layer of flavor.
Mm.
Have I been saying tamale wrong? Is it pronounced tamal?
It's tamal. It doesn't have an E at the end.
Oh.
But it crosses all barriers. It's understood.
39 years I've been an idiot. That's not good. Okay, Tyler, let's do this.
Yeah. Okay.
Go all James Beard award-winning nerd chef, TV famous cook. Let's do a tamal, but an interesting filler, something that no one's ever seen. Give me something.
Okay. Chile de Arbo, I think it's one of my favorite flavors too. It's a nice sort of nice spice, really, especially nice and ripe, dried chile de Arbo. I think those are fantastic. I like a little bacon with that. I think it's fantastic. I think shrimp is a really nice flavor profile. Seafood specifically inside of a tamale, I think is fantastic. So like what I would do is I would make the masa, right? And then if you want to make something really fancy, right? Now, please forgive me, because it's probably not going to read as a traditional tamale, but it's going to feel fun. Okay. So you could take a mixture of masa and almost kind of cook it like you're going to make grits. Okay. So you're going to put them into a pot with good chicken stock, and you're going to bring it up and you're going to make like a porridge out of it, or like you're making polenta. So instead of like mixing it with pork fat, you're going to make it like you're making grits. I want to finish it with a little bit of cream. I'm going to finish it with butter. I'm just going to make it nice and delicious. Okay. Then I'm going to make a nice little velouté sauce. I'm literally making this recipe up off the top of my head, but this is exactly what I would do. Right. I'm going to make a little velouté sauce, right, out of the shrimp shells. So chicken stock, shrimp shells. I'm going to bring that up to a simmer, and then reduce that down. I'm going to thin slice the shrimp. And then I'm going to thin slice some garlic. I'm going to thin cut some bacon, and I'm going to thin slice my chili de herb. Okay. So I'm going to cook my garlic. Okay. Until it's just really, really nice and sweet, the lowest temperature you can possibly get. I'm going to throw in the chili de herb closer to the end, really start to extract that. Then I'm going to throw in the bacon. So I'm going to start to pull those flavor profiles together. Last but not least, I'm going to throw in the shrimp, and I'm going to cut it off. Right. So I just want them just to poach, just so they're nice and tender, not chewy rubber bands, but perfectly cooked shrimp. Okay. I'm going to hit that with a little bit of my velouté sauce, my shrimp shell sauce, and I'm going to hold that off to the side. Now I'm going to take two corn husks. I'm literally making this recipe up. So chef, forgive me. I apologize. I'm just being fancy here. Right. So I'm going to take two corn husks. I'm going to lay them off like sort of, fat side to fat side, and then skinny up the top. And then I'm going to take the tippy tip tops, and I'm going to take a thin strip of the corn husk and wrap the end and make a nice little pretty boat. I'm going to take the masa mixture, which we've cooked like polenta, which tastes fantastic. And I'm going to fill the cavity of the inside of the corn husk with this really kind of deep flavor profile. That is exactly the same thing. This has a lighter, like polenta type flavor profile. And then I'm gonna fill the cavity with my beautiful shrimp, bacon, and chili de arbo filling. And then I'm going to finish that up with a little queso fresco. I'm going to finish up with a fresh cilantro, a nice wedge slice on the side. And then a little bit of chili powder, fresh chili powder on top of that. That's my recipe. That's what I would serve.
Jose, was that sacrilege, what he just did there?
Probably.
You know what? I actually had the same idea. That's exactly what I was going to say. So yeah, he got it right.
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
But you know what, the thing about it, right? Like I'm not saying that's a traditional recipe. I'm saying me is like, I'm an artist, right? I mean, I cook for a living. That's how I would like take those flavor profiles and I would sort of take it to the next level with as much respect as possible, given the creative freedom to do something fun like that. I think the flavors of Mexico with a tamale, I think that stuff taken to the next level, even like the traditional ones that are made perfectly, I think the food is fabulous, man. I think it's great.
It does feel like tamales are always very much part of like holiday traditions. I'm not even Hispanic or Mexican, but every family gathering I go to, someone brings tamales. Why do you think that is? Is it just because it is such a kind of a family-oriented meal?
Well, you got to consider that at least in the holiday season, starting in Thanksgiving, I mean, that's a kickoff to tamales. Generally, depending on the region of where you're at, for us, Thanksgiving, I mean, now that we're more acculturated, into the traditions here in the United States, obviously what we do, it's the Thanksgiving, general meal, but tamale needs to be in the forefront. That's actually where we kick off the tamales. For Christmas, generally, what cooking? I mean, the cooking for us, it's a gathering, especially in Amapola. It's that gathering that, we get the masa at Amapola, we go into a family homes, and then all of us get together and we make the tamales. We generally don't cook anything other than strictly tamales. It really depends on where you're from. that tamales is kind of the binding, it's that glue that puts it together for the seasons.
Smoked turkey tamale?
What about it? You know, what we've, and we're actually playing with some different flavors. You know, we're looking more of a mole. I mean, maybe a turkey.
Cranberry mole?
There you go. A little bit of everything. Why not?
Yeah, brother.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
What is the origin of tamales? Was it created like by the indigenous people, or was it a Spanish dish that was brought over?
God, on that one, you know, I would have to defer. I mean, Tyler, what's your answer on that one? What do you think? Where do you think it actually came from?
I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to answer that. I'd have to look it up.
That was a trick question, but
yeah, I'm not going to fake it. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, I want to say something that they're going to hold me down to it.
I'm sure. It's like some of the most incredible food in the world was, you know, generated by a need and necessity out of that. Like, there's actually a really interesting story about tamales in Mississippi, right? Which were used for a lot of like agriculture things, right? Where people kind of needed something they could kind of quickly eat. You guys heard about that? Like the big tamale tradition in the Mississippi Delta. You guys know about that? Like how they merge from one area to the other?
I just looked it up. Tamales originated in Mesoamerica as early as 8,000 to 5,000 BC. The preparation of tamales is likely to have spread from the indigenous cultures in Guatemala and Mexico to the rest of Latin America. According to archaeologists Carl Tube, William Saturino, and Dave Stewart, tamales may date from around 100 AD afterwards. So there you go. It is indigenous to America.
Well, there you go. Beautiful. And they're delicious on top of all that. And I think it's super fun. I mean, it's kind of one of those things like, listen, if you really love great Mexican culture and great Latin American culture, tamales are just absolutely delicious. And if you get a chance to go to a restaurant, go check them out. If you haven't had one before, jump in, try it. I think they're fun. Kids love them too. They're great.
Yeah.
Well, Jose, thank you so much for coming on Two Dudes. This has been awesome. Now I just want to go eat some tamales. And I also kind of want to like play around with the idea that Tyler just came up with, which was very elevated, but sounded very, very delicious.
You know, one of the things that we do need to consider, and it's, you know, I started by saying that Thanksgiving, it's kind of the kickoff. Well, February the 2nd, it's kind of the day when we say, you know, we've had enough tamales for the season. Yes, we're going to continue eating throughout, but the Candelaria, the Candlemas, to actually the last day when we celebrate the January the 6th, we eat the Rosca de Reyes. Now, whoever actually got the baby Jesus has to host a party with tamales, champurrado, atole, and all those good fixings. So I guess I would say the last day of tamales, but at Amapola, we continue eating tamales all year round.
It's kind of like a king cake. If you find the baby Jesus, is that the thing?
Well, that's
you
what have it's to... picked up. Yeah.
In this little bag right here from Emeralds last night, there is a king cake that I have not eaten yet, but there I have one.
Good.
Yeah. But listen, when I get down to the Delta, because we're going to do that, I'm going to find some really great tamales in Mississippi, and I'm going to take a bunch of pictures and I'm going to post them.
Sounds good. Jose, thanks so much for coming on Two Dudes in the Kitchen, man. This is awesome, and I cannot wait to get into the kitchen and make some tamales. And also, head on over to Two Dudes in the Kitchen on Instagram. We're going to post the video that you made, Jose, of you making those tamales, which looks so delicious.
Yeah, that was so legit. That technique was so fantastic. I love watching that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
I would just think about that. You know the Robert Johnson song, Hot Tamales in the Red, Hot, yeah, got it for sale?
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a big tamale.
That song's
culture.
Not really about tamales. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. But they say tamales. There's a big thing in Mississippi about tamales. I'm going to go hunt that down when I'm driving through there. That's going to be fun.
You got to stop by my old stomping grounds in Oxford, Mississippi, where I went to college.
I will, as a matter of fact. Any good restaurants I should check up while I'm down there?
Big Bad Breakfast is very good. I don't know if, Downtown Grill is still there. That was delicious. John Kern's restaurant's out there as well. So go check that out. This has been fun. This was such an awesome episode for me because I do love tamales. And as someone who lives in Los Angeles, you eat them all the time. And very, very cool to have Jose on and give us a rundown of like how he does it, the traditional way. And now I want to go and make them myself.
Check out the video on Instagram of him putting them together. They're so legit. They look fantastic. And it kind of looks like one of those things that you couldn't be too afraid to try at home. You know, if you really want to get into it, there's lots of recipes on how to make tamales on the internet and give it a shot. I think it's great.
This is a fun episode. You guys, don't forget, we are taking audience questions. So keep them coming in. If you want to send in an audio message or videos, we'd love that. And if you see a new trend on the web we need to know about, please send that in as well. We're here to educate and or debunk whatever you guys got going on out there. So we love seeing those things come in through the DMs. Follow us over at Two Dudes in the Kitchen. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back next week with two more episodes of Two Dudes in the Kitchen. See you guys later.
See you guys. Thanks.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Two Dudes in a Kitchen. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars.
We'll take that. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.